Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me every week to take Twitter questions until the live call-in show is back, mercifully. We are making progress, but until it's back, me and Josh Hart are going to continue to take Twitter questions. Josh, how are you on this, snowy Friday in Toronto? Thanks for stopping by earlier, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm doing all right. I had the day off of my sort of day job and went for a walk, got some pasta. Wonderful day. Excited for the long weekend. Doing well. The Raptors played well. Doing good. How are you? How are you enjoying the holiday? I know you're wearing your in a cultural attire.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, this is like maybe the most expensive thing I own, but I bought this like Mitchell and Ness Chinese New Year jersey, which for people listening, I guess, who aren't watching, it's the original Raptors Dino throwback, and it has Tracy McGrady on the back. In the front, it has in gold lettering the words like Raptor in Chinese. And it's also signed by Jeremy Lin. You know this jersey from Jeremy Lin wearing the exact same one at the parade. So, and he signed it that day, which is pretty cool, man. So,
forgive my ignorance, but where is Jeremy? Is he, he's with the Warriors G League affiliate?
Yeah, he is in the Orlando bubble. They're calling it the Gubble, the G League Gubble. It's
disgusting.
I'm pretty sure there's a Pokemon named Gubble or something like that, something close.
Grumble.
There you go. Yeah, so there you go. Not a great Pokemon outside of the Intimidate ability. Anyway.
We don't need to get into Pokemon.
Maybe later in the show. But yeah, he's playing for Santa Cruz. There was like some issue in terms of paperwork, in terms of the team couldn't submit it in time. So the CBA, he missed out on a little bit of money. But yeah, he's down there, and hopefully Jeremy can find his way back to the NBA, because right now there's like maybe three agents left in the NBA, which, you know, I'm sure Adam Silver would like that to change so that he can continue to market his league globally.
Abroad.
Yeah.
Facts.
Well, I was going to say, anyway, we actually do have 905 talk coming up on the podcast, which is pretty incredible. I've had to do my Blake Murphy / Kelsey O'Brien and really dig into the 905 so far. And, you know, there's been some interesting things. But let's start with the podcast and start with what I would have to generally list as Aaron Baines' complaints.
Not the Baines. The Baines. People are sick of this guy.
People are done with this man. There's so many questions that are just complaining about Aaron. And it's tough. I mean, I'm just going to take this one, but really there was lots of them. From J.D. Key Rants. Describe Aaron Baines using past Raptors bigs, starting with Manky Batir.
Ooh.
So, he's Inner Mongolian. He's Mongolian, but he lives in the Inner Mongolia state of China. And, which is where my mom was born, actually. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but he's 7'6", 7'5". I don't know, man. He briefly played in Toronto. Apparently, according to Alex, he was actually, and I kid you not, he was unveiled. His signing was unveiled at Pacific Mall.
No way. That didn't happen.
He must have come to Canada in one of those shipping crates, man. The NBA ordered him on AliExpress. That's what happened.
Don't get me started on AliExpress. I accidentally ordered something. You know when you like buy something online and it looks okay, and then it's like, oh, this is shipping from China. Like, I don't want anything that's like shipped from China.
No, just it takes like 3 months.
And it's like expensive. It's like, I just thought this was like in a warehouse in the GTA. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the middle of that familiar nightmare. But the Aaron Baines thing, I don't know. He looked okay last week, but the last like the Alex Len experience was kind of disturbing on Wednesday night. That was tough for Aaron. It's been a tough couple days for Aaron.
It has been I don't know. I think it's a case where we are not expecting much, right? Because we know that he's not really going to be someone who's going to be super productive. Like, we wouldn't expect him to come in and give you Serge Ibaka numbers, right? If he gave us one 20-point game this season, we would have been thrilled. And we would have taken it. But I think it's the fact that it doesn't feel like you can reliably trust him to do any job. That's tough. And I don't mean that in an insulting kind of way. I just mean, like, that's why people are frustrated. Is like, can he... Okay, if he can't score, can he defend? Which so far has not really been the case. Can he really rebound? He might be the best rebounder on their team, but like it's still a real issue that the Raptors have with rebounding. He can't really score. He's not really spacing the floor. He can screen reliably. That's what I can say consistently, is that every single night you'll get great screens. But like, bro. This is not a blinds to go. Like, I don't need great screens from the starting center of the Toronto Raptors. So,
the experience, this reminds me a lot of the, like, Louis Scola, Tyler Hansborough, like, Marcus Camby, like, experience where the Raptors just did not have a big worth their salt that they could add to the rotation when they needed one. And no disrespect to any of those guys. They were just not supposed to be starters. And I don't think Aaron Baines at this point of his career is supposed to be a starter. I don't think he's like completely washed out of the league. I think that's unfair. But having him as your starter is like you have a well below average start, and it sucks. Like, it's just like without OG this last week, it's just been tough. It's just like
it has been tough to say. Okay, how about this? I'll phrase it like this. I'm going to go through some centers that the Raptors have had recently, and you stop me until I get to a player that you would rather have Baines than this player.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start with the 2016-17 season. That year, the Raptors were dying for bigs. They got Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker in the middle of it. Of course, we would take those guys over. Would you take Louis Scola or Patrick Patterson or Baby Nogueira? You think Baines over any of those guys?
I would. Yes and no. Like, I think that's telling that he's very like Patterson. I'd take over. I think that's fair.
Yep.
Even the Patrick Patterson, you know, we named a segment about not showing up at the playoffs after him, but he was then.
He at least got us to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby Nogueira, I rooted for him, so I would like to see him more. I just liked seeing Baby out there more, but
he can dunk.
Yeah, he can dunk. That was it. Like the thing that I want out of any Raptors big while Kyle Lowry's on the court is you can run the court, catch a ball, and dunk it. Mm-hmm. It's just Kyle Lowry's so good that if you can do those three things, you'll look okay. And Aaron Baines not being able to do those things takes so much off the court for Raptors' big productivity that it's like a non-negotiable. I was talking the other day about like wanting Willie Cauley-Stein just because he's a very athletic big. And I know that in the Raptors system, he would look good.
Much better.
Like if we had a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein who was just fast, like a fast 6'11", 7-foot guy, it would work. Mm-hmm. Aaron Baines like plodding, not able to catch, can't finish around the rim, getting blocked by, was it Tatum that blocked him in the third quarter when the Raptors made that fake comeback?
Yo, I saw the rim block him. The underside of the rim blocked him on his way up for a layup. And maybe my eyes were deceiving me. I didn't rewatch the play because I was disgusted, but that's where it was at. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right. What about 2015? Hold on. There were some big. Okay, there were some questionable.
This is where it falls off. The 2016 bigs I thought made some sense.
Tyler Hansborough, Chuck Hayes, the last healthy-ish season of Amir Johnson.
Yeah.
Or Greg Steensma.
Whoa! I forgot Greg Steensma. Did he start in the playoffs?
He did not. So, thankfully, he did not do that. Yeah, okay.
But Hansborough did, because I remember thinking
he did do that. Yep.
Okay, so at least Psycho T would like get in a fight for the Raptors.
He rebounds.
he would rebound. He'd rebound and throw some elbows.
Yep.
Why hasn't Aaron Baines got into a fight? I feel like it would turn a lot around for him if he just squabbled up with somebody. It's like Raptors fans would be at least, you know, he went and protected Fred VanVleet. So Stiesma, I would take Baines over. Tyler Hansbrough, I don't know. I might, but I don't know. Who do you? I think it's competitive between Tyler Hansbrough, just based on vibes. The Tyler Hansbrough vibe was more fun than the Aaron Baines vibe.
Yeah, I think this is the year when you get to where you're like, there's multiple bigs that you would take Baines over, or you would take Baines over these guys. Chuck Hayes. I mean, as much as I love Chuck Hayes,
yeah.
Probably a better post defender, but I mean, we're talking about a guy who can't jump. He was like 6'6", and he couldn't jump at all. Decent-ish defender, though, but honestly, you know, it wasn't it for him that year. And Greg Stiesma, and that's how far you got back. You got to go. So honestly,
but Amir Johnson was pretty broken down that year, if I remember correctly.
Amir Johnson could at least like finish a layup, defend. He fouled a lot, but like no, Amir Johnson could still do. He played 75 games that season. Wow, that's actually.
Maybe I'm thinking of that was the last good year, and the year after that was when things totally went sideways.
It just felt like he perpetually had an ankle injury.
That's true.
But would play a lot. But yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is at this point with Baines. Hopefully, he turns it around. But it's a clear point that the Raptors need to upgrade at that position on the roster. Speaking of the centers on the roster, there's a lot of talk about that. There's a question here from Cheryl who asks, I'm still confused as to why Alex Len was waived after seeing him in the Wizards game. Is he really that much worse than Baines? Salary was low too. So he was not worse than Baines, but he made no money, which meant that he could not even really be used viably in a trade to like fill salary, which at least Baines has a $7 million cap hit. So if you do move him, you can get something back just to make the money work. So that in and of itself, the contract itself made it more valuable. But no, he was about equivalent to Baines, I would say.
Yeah. There was just no, he wasn't like an asset to the organization. He wasn't going to play more. He wasn't going to do more on the court, and he didn't make enough money to like be an organizational piece. And I guess there was a negative market out for him, even though he's playing a fair amount of minutes for the Washington Wizards. But they're in hell. Like they are in.
Oh man!
Like they're like the worst vibes team in the East compared, like at the bottom where the Pistons are, and the Pistons are the best vibe team in the East. That's also bad. I'm.
Yo, really the Pistons have beaten the Lakers and the Nets.
And the Celtics, right? I feel like they've beat all of the...
Oh, man. They're the ultimate trap team. Like, because you're definitely not expecting anything. And then all of a sudden, like, Mason Plumlee becomes Nikola Jokic. And you're just wondering the whole time why you're down.
That's the thing about this Pistons team is that, like, while they are not a good roster, like a great roster, they're clearly a team that is going to, like, make you, like, hurt. Like, they're just... They're all trying hard, and it's cool. I actually am really, like, really. It's been fun to watch them play. Happy for Jeremy Grant. He proved that he's that dude. I don't know why. I don't know why it mattered to him to be like a really good guy on a not so great team. But maybe he's proven to an organization that you can build around him. And I don't know. I wouldn't be totally convinced that Jeremy Grant be the number one option on a playoff team. And that's kind of a cool thing to like validate for yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
not a contending team, but like a team that will have playoff games, and that's cool.
Yeah, like an eighth seed. Like, is he any worse than like Julius Randle, who might get the Knicks to the eighth seed? Like, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of the same deal. A fun game, actually. Tailing on the question I asked you earlier, how many of these current set of Piston centers would you take over Aaron Baines? Oh man, Blake Griffin, forget the contract.
Oh, come on,
forget the contract, but just in terms of one-on-one, let's say they made the same money.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't really want Blake Griffin, but yes, he's a much better player.
Yeah, okay. So he's shooting 36%, but I agree with you. He could do much more. Mason Plumlee?
Yeah, of course. He's I don't know what happened, but yes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stewart? Yeah, Isaiah Stewart probably too.
He's Jamaican too.
Yeah, I know. Isaiah Stewart, Chris Boucher, okay. There rotation.
There you go.
That'd
baby.
Be a two Caribbean man's that'd be like the Mandem front court. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jahlil Okafor.
I probably not. I don't. Yeah. Why is he injured all the time?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a golfing talent. But yeah, to the original question, honestly, there were equivalent players. One player had a more valuable contract, and so I think they ultimately cut Len because of that. Also, I'm actually happy the Raptors cut Len because now he can get minutes, as you said. But yeah, the only thing Len really does better consistently than Baines is rebound better. His career rebounding percentage is much higher than Baines. So if you wanted to keep him for that reason, then sure. But I don't know if that extra bit of rebounding is worth the difference in value of their contracts, which, you know, again, that's just what it is. So next question, also on the center position. So report today that John Collins might be available in trade. He failed to reach a contract extension with the Atlanta Hawks before the season. And he basically talked shit about Trae Young not passing the ball. So, yes. What is John Collins someone that you feel like would fit the Raptors' long-term ambitions? Because obviously if you trade for him, you're intending to re-sign him, which will probably cost at the least max. $20 million, if not close to the max yet.
Just that's the problem. Like somebody asked a similar question. Like, I really like John Collins. I don't think that he can be on the court for a team that's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And I think that Lloyd Pierce, one of my favorite coaches in the NBA, pointed that out. And it's hard to look at a guy who someone you respect has said, maybe we can do better without you, and say we're going to like bet the farm on this player.
Okay, I hear
that. It's tough. Like, yeah, was kind of good. Like, was good at Wake Forest. Has proven to have a lot of talent in Atlanta. It's just like a tough. It's tough to put that kind of money in a guy who you have questions about with a team that if you slot in a above average, if you slot in a good fringe all-star big, this team is contending again.
Yes.
And if you don't, it seems that this team is stuck in the basement. And I don't know if I trust John Collins to be that important a piece to this organization. No disrespect. If the dollars were maybe different, maybe, but right. I don't know. In that vacuum, that's kind of where I end up on the John Collins. Do you feel differently?
No, I think you're bringing a really great point, because I think roster building is much different than just collecting the best players. Obviously, there's significant overlap, but I think you have to consider, would you want John Collins at a max contract, which would, as you mentioned, effectively kill the flexibility of the team, because you would have Pascal to max, Collins near to max, Fred making 21, OG making 18, Norm, if he's back,
$17 million. Normal.
Anybody else? You know what I mean? So like, you're very, very quickly running out of money. And of course, that's assuming that you move on from Kyle. But yeah, at the same time, there's a lot of things to like about John. Like, I think Collins is a really talented player. Last year, he suffered an injury. He only played 41 games, which is, you know, a bit of a concern. But for the most part, it's been a healthy player. I think he's really talented offensively. Can definitely play above the rim, which is great. I don't think anybody in the Raptors, maybe honestly outside of your man Norm, plays above the rim consistently for the Raptors. Pascal occasionally gets there. OG occasionally gets there. But I think Collins can definitely impact the basket. He can shoot the three. He's at a career 37.7% last two seasons at 40%, slightly over 40%. Can shoot the free throw. Is a decent rebounder. You know, I think defensively there are more concerns there, and you might wonder, okay, is this another guy that, because he's playing with Trae Young and you see the kind of attention Trae attracts, is he one of those bigs that benefits, right? But Honestly, I don't really think so. I think he does a lot of stuff that, yes, he does play along with other point guards and he benefits from Trey, but I don't see why that couldn't be the case when he's playing alongside Pascal or Fred even. And I think he would give the Raptors a lob threat. The Raptors could really use a lob threat.
Imagine having pressure at the rim. I can't.
It's unbelievable, right? It's just Boucher, right? And Collins can really bang on people. And he's 23 years old. He's born in 1997. He's currently in the year of the Ox. So congratulations, John Collins. But like to put that into perspective, he's the same age as OG. So
I don't know.
He's really like one of those, I don't know, but I would, if the Raptors did it, I wouldn't be mad at them because I do see a lot of talent.
Yeah. That's fair. If a bunch of like professionals who know better decide this, mm-hmm. I totally see it making sense. It's just, also a guy from Atlanta, like it's like the DeMar Carroll situation all over again.
Lou Williams before too, and that worked out kind of.
That did work out pretty well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It would be, I don't know. I could see myself really hating him, and I don't want to like subject him to that, because if it doesn't work out, it'll be in my heart, and I think the heart of many people who follow the Raptors, John Collins' fault, and that's not fair. He's earned the kind of contract he's looking to seek. I think that he is probably the kind of guy that gets a max contract at 23 years old. But he's the kind of guy, if your team pays it and it doesn't work out, you pull out what precious hair you have left.
Right. Two other guys in this category, Jared Allen and Lauri Markkanen, who are both in the same draft class. 2017 draft class is pretty good, honestly. But, you know, those kind of guys also failed to reach extensions. Jared Allen was traded to the Nets, Cleveland, so you assume that Cleveland would want to re-sign him. But same kind of deal. I'd be interested in any of those three guys fitting in for the Raptors. They're all different kinds of players. They're pretty distinct. But, yeah, I think the Raptors kind of need a young big to grow with the core. And, again, yeah, I wouldn't be unhappy. It's really just the money that would be an issue.
Yeah.
Another question about the center position. Clearly, it's the biggest issue. But Scott asks, how long until Utah cracks the starting five? I'm ready for a full-time Baines replacement. Utah has the size, energy, and rebounding. Could you see hashtag chosen one at the five? He also included a picture where Baines looks really, really concerned, and Utah is just smiling. And it's clear that Utah is actually taller than Aaron Baines. This picture.
I don't think that'll happen, but it's a fun idea. I want Nick Nurse to, when OG's back, do the small ball thing and see how they look mm-hmm. with Fred, Norm, Kyle, Pascal, OG. Which I think would be, they're probably like 12 to 15 teams that it won't look terrible against. So then let's try it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could probably get away with it against the Milwaukee Bucks next week to be age.
Yeah, although they do like having that wall in the middle to close in on Giannis, but I don't know, man. I don't think the Raptors match up really well with the Bucks at the moment.
I don't think Baines changes anything, and I think that if you go small, I think you at least challenge the Bucks to react to it. I don't think that playing them straight up, like we saw it, like Giannis added another three dunks on Aaron Baines to that package of way too many dunks on Aaron Baines. So why run that out again? Goodness. Like if you think this team has any sort of aspirations to being successful, you'll have to have a team that can compete with the Bucks. Running it back is not going to work. Like Giannis really, really did a number on Aaron Baines. So to me, it's like, give it a shot. I don't know what you do against the 76ers. Maybe
I don't know what you do against the 76ers, man.
Next week is going to be tough, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. And if you think people are frustrated now, wait till then. But I think the only thing that you would really miss is the screening. I do think that Baines does create separation with his screen. But and you just can't expect OG or Pascal, whoever's going to be the nominal five, to be doing that. But Yeah. I don't know, man. You'll see some improvements elsewhere. I think improvements in terms of contesting at the on the perimeter, maybe more of ability to rotate and things like that. Definitely more speed. But yeah, I mean, by the way, Utah is third on the team in rebounding percentage. He's at 15%. Baines is at 16. So
do you think there's a case to start him?
No. I'm just entertaining
okay.
the idea.
Okay.
I like Utah a ton, but no, he's not starting. Come on, guys. What are we doing?
But I was listening to the reaction show. It sounds like you have come around on small Raptors. Well,
I think two things. One, Norm playing so great has really influenced that decision.
Say it again. Listen,
it's because of Norm. All right. It's because of Norm. All right. Because he's played that well. We're getting like game six against the Celtics level Norman Powell. Remember when he scored 15 points in overtime, the two overtime periods? This guy only shows up when the Raptors need him most, but then he definitely shows up.
He's a dark knight. Yeah, Norm's played really well. Baines has looked bad. I would like to see it.
Bro, what are you losing, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. You know the starting five doesn't work out well. You know that Pascal, OG, and Baines, the three of them together, is a weird combo, and that just hasn't really worked out. So, you know, you're going to need some more juice. Try it out, Nick. Just try it out, okay? In terms of your man, Norm Powell, two questions here. One from Jeff Lowe. Assuming Norm will opt out, what do you do with him? Do you extend him or trade him? Extending him has become a real possibility.
He's come all the way back. I still don't think he has I don't think he's matched where he was last February, March, when he could like put up 34 on the Warriors. Like that stuff isn't back, but he's giving you 22 nightly, which is like 18 to 22 nightly, which is amazing. Yeah, like I've been on the what are you getting rid of Norm for just because if you can use Norm to trade for a big who you really believe in, I can understand the
impulse. if you could somehow flip Norm plus Baines plus like a future pick into John Collins, you have to think hard about that.
Yeah,
but otherwise he's clearly a very valuable player to this team, especially now that he's shaken off his slow start. I think definitely his slow start was awful, like head scratchingly bad, but I think the circumstances of the season, it's starting earlier than anticipated, starting in Tampa, that being weird. I think that might have thrown some players off. But as we've seen, he's completely recaptured what he's done last season. And he's done it consistently. He clearly thrives in a starting role. I mean, like, listen, there's just so many players you can put into a starting lineup and give you 20 points on 60% true shooting. You know what I mean? That's a lot. Like, that's a lot. And, of course, Norm doesn't generate that necessarily for himself. Doesn't really matter. If someone's giving you 20 points on 60% true shooting, you know, you kind of have to just have to embrace that. So what are you saying? You're going to try to trade him or are you going to try to extend?
No, I would try to extend him. Like right now, my expectation is Norm Powell will sign for like 15 to 18 per in the offseason. OG's making what? Well, I don't think he's going to get the term. 18? Like that's making 18 for four.
Yeah.
I don't know if Norm's going to get the kind of that kind of term. Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to get?
Well, I don't think he'll get the same term because OG contract takes him 24 to 27, whereas for Norm, it will take him to 30, which it's not necessarily a big concern. It's just that I don't think the Raptors are as confident in Norm just because they keep starting. It's pretty clear. Like in terms of their young wings, it's Fred, then it's OG, and then it's Norm, right? So you expect him to get the shortest contract based on the three. But performance-wise, man, he's amazing. He's up to 16 points on the season, shooting 45% from the field, 42% from three, 88% from the free throw line. Like, you know, automatic.
And he's been like 50-50-95 the last like week and a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So
God bless him.
Even against the Celtics, where I was like, man, Norm was done. Like, remember he had like layups that he got blocked. He had the open three that just came up short. He still had 15 points in that game. But 15 was a bad game for Norm. He's really come around. So I'm happy you're there. And I'm personally happy for you, man.
Yeah, it was tough when every week was like, okay, what can we get for Norm? A bag of planting chips and a nutriment. I was like, come on.
They're trading you two pings for Nolan Powell.
One pink, one
drink. And we're talking about the drinks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. More likely to be an all-star. This one is from Nathan Alexander. Who is more likely to be to go to an all-star game at some point in their career, Fred or OG?
Fred's there in March. So yeah,
Fred honestly might be there. Honestly, I could see Fred being like a guy coaches swear by. You know, he's honestly Kyle Lowry. Like coaches will vote Kyle Lowry to the all-star game. Because they're like, I need that on my team.
54 points last week. He should be at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
He's been the Raptors' best player this season, over the course of the season. And it's Fred VanVleet. This is awesome. Like, I'm pumped for Fred VanVleet to I don't know if Fred goes, but I'm excited for him to be named an All-Star.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if it necessarily needs to be said. I don't want to, you know, say something super obvious, but there's only 12 all-stars in a conference.
Yeah.
You know, or 24 all-stars in a whole season for the entire league. Is OG going to be a top 24 player?
I mean, we all love OG, but this is a Raptors fans question. Yeah, it's been really, really
good. Yeah. Although honestly, I've seen some national reporters say it too. So,
Anunoby is going to make like an all defensive team, and that's hell of an accomplishment.
Or Fred, honestly, Fred can make it too. Yeah, Kyle Lowry was saying, Fred should make it too. And honestly,
I agree. Sure. But we should give OG his own year end award. But yeah, I think Fred VanVleet. I think he is an all star. I think the guards are Beal, Kyrie Irving, Fred, Chris Middleton. How many spots do they have to have? Whatever. Those, like, I think Fred is right around where Trae Young gets named. And I think he could beat him.
Mm. I think coaches should not vote for Trae Young just because I think every coach in the league hates Trae Young.
Yeah.
The way he draws fouls. Voting
for Trae Young.
Steve Nash 100% is not voting.
But is Steve Nash voting for Kyrie?
No. No, he's not. Shout out Steve Nash, man. I've not really seen him do that much this season.
Except for lose his mind when Kevin Durant was told he had to leave a game that he should have never been in at all.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know that he was frustrated because he was getting sort of jerked around by the league. But come on, why did you let him play?
Yeah. No, Steve Nash might be the most calm coach I've ever seen. Like, he just...
Yeah.
He just has no real actual worries. He's like, I lucked into this job. I have three superstars who are all going to be Hall of Famers. And, you know...
And I have another three superstars that are all going to be Hall of Famers on the bench.
Yeah, and listen, it doesn't even matter if things go badly because no one cares about the Nets that much, you know? Like, if this was happening on the Knicks, every single day Stephen A. Smith would be on his ass, but no one cares. Have you heard Steve Nash slander? No, I haven't.
Not since he got the job.
No, so not since like 2010 when he got banged on by Kobe.
Yeah.
Although he did beat Kobe twice in the playoffs. He did? No, once. Once? They're like 1-1. Kobe definitely beat him in 2010 when he won the championship.
Yeah.
All right. What's next question?
Who makes an All-Star team first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's maybe OG makes one in the future, but we'll see. Honestly, if he keeps growing, you never know.
And also depends on how much Rich Paul tries.
Yes, but Rich Paul has so many clients, you know?
Didn't Eric Bledsoe make an old? No, he didn't. There's no way.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to look that up. I really hope not.
Like his first year in Phoenix when the Suns were like pretty good? There's no way.
No way. No, he didn't make it.
Okay, thank God. He did not make it, yeah.
No, that would have been that would have been a little ridiculous. The All-Star game should mean something. I'm talking about the All-Star game like the Dallas Stars were talking about the national anthem. It should mean something. Can't have this happen. Lace Sports asks, the Hawks strategy versus the Raptors was to stop the transition game by giving up offensive rebounds and sending everyone back on D. Of course, they're not the first team to do this. How can the Raptors best counteract this strategy? So we know the Raptors are definitely, they definitely need to score in transition to be great. But, you know, how do you, also, how do you generate transition?
How do you generate transition, or how do you not suffer from that scheme against you? Because I think the Raptors just having tired legs, like you saw, like it's hard to, it's hard to like face a set defense when you're, when you don't have the legs to shoot over a set defense anymore. That seemed to be why the Raptors broke down in the second half of that Hawks game. I don't think that can happen every day. I just, I don't think that, I think the Raptors defense is good enough to not suffer that fate, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you actually. Because I think so much of transition is determined based on your defense. If you can get stops, it doesn't matter if the directive is don't go for offensive rebounds, you're still going to be able to create transition moments. If you get deflections in the open court, there's nothing you can do. It's an instant transition, right? So I think the Raptors were not defending that night. What, they gave up like close to 130? They keep having to take the ball out of their own basket. That's going to kill your transition game more than anything else. So I think, you know, it's a fair question to ask, like, how much can the Raptors rely on transition? And we saw last year in the playoffs that if you do cut off the Raptors' transition, they are a very, very average team offensively. And I don't think this year has changed anything in that front. If anything, they're a little bit worse. But, you know, that's just kind of what it is. I think in terms of half-court creators, I think the Raptors need to add more talent there. Or they need to get more balance in terms of five guys who can all, like, dominate. Like, the Pistons were never, like, a dominant offensive club, you know, in their championship days. But, like, every single guy could give you something. And it was very difficult to play them as a team. And they'll get enough scoring because their defense is also great. The Raptors have the defensive part, not to that extent, but they have the defensive part. They just need to have five guys who can score and be a threat. And, you know, most nights they struggle with that. So,
yeah.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Next question from the Matthew T. Do you think the Raptors should waive Patrick McCaw and use the roster spot for Alize Johnson?
I don't know about waiving four-time champion Pat McCaw while he's rehabbing an injury. But do the... I don't know. If Ali looked that good?
He moves a little awkwardly. I don't know how to say this. Like, it feels like... So he's got really skinny legs, and but his upper body's also really built. So I don't know. He moves a little awkwardly just to the eye test. I haven't watched... like, I've watched like a game and a half of 905 basketball. He is decent. He had 23 points today on 9 of 11 shooting with 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. How much that means in a G League context, I'm not totally sure.
In the gobble?
Yeah, in the gobble. He can defend multiple positions, but he's largely a finisher. I don't know. I think the offense, honestly, I don't know. If I were to reach for anybody on the 905, aside from Malachi and
Big D
and Jalen Harris, are you talking about DeJuan?
Yeah.
I wouldn't reach for DeJuan. I don't know. I wouldn't reach for DeJuan. I mean, today was not his game. He was scoreless, 0-4 shooting. But the only guy, the guy I would actually reach for is Nick Stauskas, because I think Nick really looks like the most accomplished player on this roster, and he is.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think he's definitely more built than the last time I seen him. I saw him at like a charity tournament in Toronto, and he was, you know, obviously very, very conditioned, but like No, he looks much more built. And he just, yeah, like if you were asking me, do I want Nick Stauskas or Matt Thomas in that minute, I might take Nick Stauskas.
In the 1 minute he plays at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In a
yeah, which, you know. But Malachi looked good today, man. 25 points, 10 of 20 shooting, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block. Honestly, Jalen Harris looks pretty decent too.
Does he? I'm excited for like a game next March. Imagine myself like in Scotiabank Arena and Jalen Harris checks in the end of the third quarter and Kyle Lowry is still on the team, I'm imagining, and they have a great fourth quarter. That feels like something that could happen. Who knows if it will?
That would be great. But we got to see. We got to see.
Yeah,
he is still on a two-way contract, so you just never know if these guys are going to stick around.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they look promising. I don't know. I like the fact that Jalen's running more point. They're running the same system as the Raptors are, right? So, like, he would be running, like, I would say he'd be more like Kyle on the ball, and Malachi's more like Fred on the ball. Malachi takes a lot of dribbles, tries to, you know, we'll take a possession where he calls for two different screens and then takes a pull-up jumper. yeah, these guys are growing. We'll keep a tab on them in the G League. But so far, honestly, so far, so good. They look okay. Next question from Brandon. Looking ahead, Raptors look like a playoff road team, probably a 5-6 seed at the moment. Can they win a series against Boston or Brooklyn?
You guys are aware that there's going to come a point where Kevin Durant shoots like 15 free throws in the fourth quarter, and it'll happen against the Raptors if anybody. Like, the Raptors are not going to get that experience. I was very excited to see them win last Friday night against the Nets. That was one of the, I think that'll probably be one of the marquee wins of the season. It was like entertaining. I feel like Kevin Durant against the Raptors has always been entertaining from that triple double overtime game when he was with the Thunder. That game freaking sucked, but it was fun to watch. And then the Warriors.
Oh, the John Salmon's missing free throws game.
Yes. And the Thunder were in those wonderful jerseys, the navy ones with the stripe.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I really like that jersey.
Was that cool. The season the Thunder made him play with like Sebastian Telfair and like Perry Jones III? Like, yo, the Thunder really, like, I understand that Sam Presti drafted these guys, but their ability to craft talent around them, just like getting supporting pieces, was just consistently poor, man. How many times did I watch the Thunder in the playoffs and they had Kendrick Perkins and Derek Fisher? Like, we can't be standing a man who's putting a playoff team together that relies so heavily on those two guys.
Yeah, you know? And so, like, remember,
no more Sam Presti agenda, okay? That's, no, enough. He's a glorified catch of Kevin Pritchard.
What was this question?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to reread it again. Can the Raptors beat Boston or Brooklyn?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think they can. I don't. This feels mean. It's like when people say, like, oh, can the just, I don't think so. No, the Celtics are going to be pretty good. They're going to be, like, those teams are going to be better playoff teams than they are in the regular season because they have guys who can score one-on-one and you can't double team off of. Mm-hmm. The Nets have three of them. The Celtics have two of them. It's those are good things to have in the playoffs.
Can they beat any of these teams in a head-to-head matchup? Philly?
No.
No. I mean, last year they could have. Last year they absolutely could have.
But like, Joel Embiid is going, if Joel Embiid sees the Raptors, he may never stop doing the airplane.
Yeah, he, I don't know, man. Him versus like Aaron Baines or like even Chris Boucher.
He would put Chris Boucher through the basket. And it's no disrespect to Chris Boucher. Joel Embiid is going to be top three MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joel Embiid. I'm happy.
All right. Milwaukee Bucks. Can the Raptors beat the Bucks?
Yeah, but that's just off the strength of being like a real serious team.
That's right. Honestly, Nick Nurse might outcoach Stevie Mike Budenholzer to such an extent that the Raptors with like this current collection might do something to the Bucks. Honestly, the Raptors might match up with the Bucks better than any of these other top teams. Brooklyn, yeah. I really do think Brooklyn will turn it around in a playoff setting. I do not want to see Brooklyn ever. So no, absolutely not. We don't. Yeah, no. Boston, we already know how that goes. And then even below them, like Miami, like Miami's won four straight now that Jimmy Butler's back. You know, they still had some ups and downs, but I still maybe probably trust the Heat more. So
you trust Heat culture more? The idea of Toronto playing home games in Florida against the Heat, it just seems like a tough vibe.
Yeah. So no, it's looking tough. I think the Raptors should upgrade the roster. If they got a better center, I'm changing my tune. But at the moment, that's what it is.
So is the best case scenario, like what's the best case first round scenario for this team? Like the Pacers.
Yes. If we somehow got into a 4-5 matchup with the Indiana Pacers of Indiana, we could beat them.
Would the Nets be the sixth? Like,
you never know. Honestly, it's realistic that there's a real chance that the Raptors end up with the Pacers in the first round. And if they do that, I'd be thrilled.
And they can win. And then when, you know, there's coverage, like the Raptors are going to like lose their last game to fall out of the three seed into the four seed. And we'll say it's because the Pacers don't have it. And we can finally be the bully veteran team. Picking on a young upstart team in the playoffs. But that's really the only realistic way the Raptors win a playoff round this year.
And to put it like this, Indiana would be hoping to play the Raptors too. So, yeah, listen, get a better center, okay? Masai, get a better center. We can really make a run. The next few questions are from about Chinese New Year, so I'll probably just ask this one from the DMs. As with everyone else in the DMs, I'm just going to keep it anonymous. But especially with this question, who said, is the Kyle Lowry statue a bit overboard? Only a handful of NBA players in history have had statues. And I don't think K-Lo is even in that conversation of players. Maybe I fully don't get what qualifies a player to have a monument built for him / her. But I do think that at least an MVP trophy is a minimum. For the record, I'm all for a statue of K-Lo. So don't cancel this person. They're just trying to ask a question. Is Kyle Lowry statue overboard?
I guess, are they asking, will Kyle Lowry be the worst player to have a statue outside of an NBA arena?
Sure, maybe.
And I don't know, maybe that's true, but like, you can go screw yourself. Like, he won a championship in Toronto. Like, I don't really know. I like understand it, but it's actually an interesting question. Will Kyle Lowry be one of the worst players to be to have a statue? Maybe, but that's for you to deal with. Because I want it there. He's earned it. And Kyle Lowry is the reason for the most prosperous era of Raptors basketball. So, you know, tough titty.
Yeah, I'm looking up which players have statues. And I mean, there's obviously the ones like MJ outside of the United Center. You know, there's Magic, Kareem. Jerry West outside of Staples, Stockton and Malone has statues. You know, Dr. J has a statue. Hakeem has a statue. George Mikan has a statue.
Kyle Lowry will be the worst player with a statue.
Kyle might be the worst player with a statue, unfortunately.
Tim Duncan's going to get a statue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he should. Dirk should have a statue.
Yeah, Dirk. Kobe Bean Bryant will get a statue. Yeah, maybe this is a good argument.
Here's the thing. Look at the statues in Toronto currently.
Yeah, who are okay. these guys?
Ted Rogers has a statue for being in control of one of two, in control of a duopoly in communication in Canada. And then there's like gargoyles popping out of the, you know, Rogers Center. Like, no, we could have a Kyle statue, man. And look outside this, like the actual just like Scotiabank Arena itself. There's those two like rusted posts that kind of intersect and they got stars in them. Would you rather see that or a Kyle Lowry statue? Am I going to take a selfie in front of two posts that are rusted? No, I want to give me a photo set of in front of Kyle Lowry. So listen, if it helps in any way to attract tourism or to improve civic pride, which I believe it would do both, then yes, get a Kyle Lowry statue. I don't care. People can slander us all we want. Kyle Lowry has a statue. Like John Stockton doesn't have a championship. Kyle has a championship. That's what I'll say, and I'll be shameless about it. Who cares?
Yeah, it is definitely right that he will probably be the worst player of the modern era with a statue. But
I hate that that's true. But
you can take that opinion and shove it up your butt. Like I don't care.
Who cares?
You don't care. It's Kyle Lowry.
Bro, look at some of the players that the Celtics have numbers retired for example, right? Like, some of these guys were, like, averaging, like, 10 points while working as, like, a part-time fireman. Like, I don't want to hear this, okay? We could celebrate who we want. No one could tell us otherwise. Kyle Lowry made us feel great.
Yeah.
All right. We moved on to the Chinese New Year portion of the podcast. Blake Murphy asks, for which Raptor is a turn to Year of the Ox a most positive change? He phrased that a little strangely, but okay. Year of the Ox. So the Ox, if I'm correct, and maybe I'm not too super up on my Chinese zodiac. So basically the Chinese zodiac exists because God wanted to, you know, pit this race of like animals on Earth. And so everyone, all the animals like raced, and the ox being super hardworking was ahead the whole time. And the only reason the ox is the second of the 12 years in the zodiac is because the mouse rode on the ox. And at the finish line, essentially the mouse jumped over the line first and just basically played him. So the ox is second, but basically the ox is like a really hardworking person, really resilient, really noble. And yeah, honestly, in that description, I feel like Fred is probably the guy. You know, a little bit stubborn, but definitely works really hard, overcomes the odds, is generally pretty steady in his production, and definitely a very loyal guy because he also re-signed in Toronto twice as an unrestricted free agent. So that's my pick. But there are actually several players on the Raptors who are born in the Year of the Ox, including OG Anunoby, 1997. So good for young OG. Terrence Davis, also born in the Year of the Ox. And so maybe those guys will have some good luck this year. That's honestly the most of the analysis I have. But if anyone most typifies what the Ox typifies, it's probably Fred.
And he's set to have a big year.
He's having the big year right now. So
Team USA, I'm going to go out and say he's making the All-Star team.
Yeah.
How much better does it get? Hopefully his team's able to make the playoff.
He did only have 5 points against the Celtics, but clearly that was an aberration.
Well, the Celtics have this team's number, and I think the guys kind of play like it now.
That's true. Yeah.
Which makes it sad to watch. Like, I was not having fun watching the game. Even during the fake comeback, it's like they don't think they can beat the Celtics.
I mean, that was a bit of a scheduled loss, but yeah, I mean, the Celtics really do have our number, which is, again, just terrible. But to be fair, the Raptors did have the Celtics number for quite a long time. It's
fact. DeMar DeRozan one of his greatest legacies is punking the Celtics regularly.
Mm. Mm. I loved it, man. I loved it. That game when PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka first arrived in Toronto and they beat the Celtics, and PJ Tucker was, you know, body checking Isaiah Thomas, and after the game said, I haven't slept for 25 straight hours. And also DeMar DeRozan needs to play defense. I fell in love with PJ Tucker instantly. And then I fell out of love really quickly as well, but you know, it is what it is. Another question from Lace Sports. Do you want JJ Redick to reissue his happy Chinese New Year wishes?
I don't know what this is. What is this?
So
try not to pay attention to JJ Redick.
Yeah, which is fine. Because he does regularly talk to CIA directors apparently in the public forum, which is always great to talk to war criminals. But so the NBA did, you know, a round where they just went to talk to players and made them say things like Happy New Year in Chinese. And
he claims
he accidentally said the C word, but I mean
Oh God.
You know, it is, you know, am I going to be petty and hold it against him? Probably. But I don't want to hear him try it again, to be honest. He had a real chance to apologize. Not necessarily because I can understand. He's like, look, it wasn't my intention to say it, but he was just like, I'm offended that people would think this about me. And I'm just like, can you treat this with seriousness and just say, this is not what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It sounded like that. It was just an audio error, but I definitely respect the holiday or something like that. That would have been better than just like, I'm the victim here, which that I did not respect that part of it, but you know, it is what it is. So the answer is no. I don't want to hear JJ Redick say anything in Chinese. The last question on Chinese New Year comes from Alex, who said rank these, and he has what is traditionally a Chinese treats kind of snacks kind of plate.
Okay. I'm looking at the tweet too.
Yeah.
So I only there's... recognize three of these things.
All right. What do you recognize from here?
The like wax paper, like milky tasting ones.
The white rabbit candy, yep.
Yeah, those go hard. There's a Ferrero Rocher, obviously, that's good.
Yeah.
What maybe those are the only two things I recognize. The red and gold wrapped ones, they look like are they like jade colored when you unwrap them?
Yes. Well, no, not really. They're more like brown, like a light brown.
But I know those too. Yeah, those are good too. But what are these small, like flat red ones?
So I believe these are sunflower seeds, like watermelon seeds, that are candied in some way. I prefer sunflower seeds over watermelon seeds any day. Not too big a fan of these. These might also be pumpkin seed. I don't know. It's the same shape. Some of the other items on here. So there's like candied. It looks like
lotus root.
Yeah, lotus root, which
is that good? That looks. I can't wrap my head because when I see lotus root, I think of it like as pickled and like brined, and I can't imagine it sweet. But
I mean, they all taste the same because they're so heavily sweetened. Gotcha. So it's really just what shape of food do you want in your mouth?
I do like the look of the lotus root. I imagine it tastes good, but it's hard to. It is hard to like.
I'm not gonna
like absorb that one into my head.
The only one I'm taking out of this whole bunch is the like one or two white rabbits. To be honest, I find white rabbits a little bit overrated, but I feel like I'm, you know, pulling a JJ Redick move if I say that. So I'll just say that, yes, I will take the white rabbit. The rest of the stuff, honestly, is probably for older Chinese people because I feel like younger.
Like Alex.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's why you asked. The rest of them are fine. I mean, if you like candied items. You know, generally speaking, I feel like we have better snacks than this. This the traditional one here is I might just only take a white rabbit and go. So I do appreciate the question. So these are great. The last question before we get to our Malachi's missions for the week is comes from Sahal, who asks, where does pizza rank in your top three? And I have to preface this by saying Sahal genuinely needs help because he believes that pizza is the top tier pizza in the world, and
it's the Jordan meme.
No, it's the meme from The Sopranos. This is Italian American discrimination, like that pizza might be Italian American discrimination.
Top three, like number one regional or like city of Toronto pizza is Pizza Nova. That's the best, like,
yeah,
delivery
okay.
place.
We should have tiers. Yeah. This is like walk in, get a slice, order one pizza for like less than $10.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the best of that. Like, it's better than Domino's. It's better than Pizza to me.
Two for one's actually pretty decent.
One's pretty decent as well. They'd be high in my list. But Pizza Nova is number one for me.
I agree.
If you grew up like me in Rexdale, you'll know that at the corner of John Garland Boulevard and Martin Grove, you can get a pizza with chicken and pineapple on it. And that's like the best slice in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
At the Pizza Nova. So that's number one. I do have a soft spot for a really hot pizza pepper, like pie. That was the place that I went to in university after a night of studying.
Okay.
Definitely studying in Ottawa. Yeah. So that was my place. But I don't think it makes my top three if I'm walking out my door right now. The creamy garlic is the truth.
Yes. Though. That's the only reason to go. I'm happy you mentioned it. That's the only reason to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course it doesn't compare to like actual like fancier restaurant grade pizzas, so that's not even a fair comparison. But I agree. I think honestly the only reason to have pizza A is if the Raptors won and you just like you woke up the next morning, you're at work, you're like, what am I gonna do for lunch? You reach into your jacket pocket, you realize you still have your ticket, you're like, why not? You know, like fine, you could do that. But really it's just like a nostalgia factor for me because I feel like first off, in Etobicoke, there just weren't that many like restaurants that you can walk to. Like it's not like you grew up downtown, you can just like go to different places like along Bloor or whatever. There was like a pizza in La Rose Plaza, which I went to all the time as like when I was like in grade 6, because I would like have $2 then try to hustle kids for money. You know how it was, you know, like it's weird.
Yes,
it was just like a real practice. Like I had lunch, but I would just try to ask people for lunch money all the time. Then I would cobble together $5, go get one slice, as you mentioned, like a really, really piping hot pepperoni slice with like a creamy Caesar dipping sauce. And that's the only way to go. But honestly, that's just pure nostalgia because I feel like I've grown out of that. And
when did Pizza get rid of the square slices all the time? Because tastes better cut in squares.
Absolutely. Yeah, because their crust is like too big, man. That's why you need the Caesar, because they're giving you like a breadstick.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
now, the creamy garlic itself is
fine, though.
Yeah, the creamy garlic is quite good, quite good.
Yeah, but if you do need a budget pizza, I would definitely recommend Pizza Nova. I'd recommend 2 for 1. I'd recommend like Mama's Pizza if you're downtown.
Mama's is good. Adelaide and Spadina. That's a good place.
Yep. So, yeah, sorry, pizza's not in there. Sorry.
I do like, but Pizza is called Pizza 73 in Western Canada.
Wait, actually?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea.
What's the significance of 73?
Like, it's the same branding, so it's clearly the same company.
Okay.
But it's called Pizza 73. So,
I mean, listen, just calling it Pizza is a ridiculous name unto itself. You know what I mean? Like, what do you have? Like, it's ridiculous.
A couple of years ago, I went to go see Aziz Ansari do stand-up.
This is before he was canceled.
Yes. Just,
I'm putting the disclaimer right here.
Yes, this is the disclaimer before...
Pre-cancellation.
Pre-cancellation. But he, went on for 5 minutes about Pizza being the stupidest name. He's like, was somebody driving down? He's like, wait, what was that place? And they're like, oh, if only they had their name repeated again so I could know what I could get there. And I was like, all right, that was pretty funny, I guess.
I mean, Aziz loves coming to Canada, right? He's in Montreal a lot, so...
Yeah, there are a lot of Northeastern Americans who like to come up here and just say, oh, yeah, I've, you know, hung out in Toronto or Montreal. Yeah.
My favorite thing is when Americans come to Canada and they're like, it's a little bit more like Europe. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, it's nothing like Europe.
It's nothing like Europe. There's white people and there's Europeans here, but that's it. Like, they speak English, I guess.
Yeah. It is nothing like Europe.
No, I feel sad for Americans who say that.
This is nothing like Canada.
Especially like, oh, you go to Montreal, that's like, and you're basically in Europe. It's like, you're not in Europe.
I guess Montreal and Quebec City are more European than Cincinnati, but they're not. It's like,
and Toronto has very little, if at all, any European characteristics,
like
I would say.
Toronto is like, it's, yeah, Toronto is indistinguishable from
New York. Might be more like Europe than Toronto is, man.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right.
So I don't know. It's just, it always rubs me the wrong way. So that's all the questions we have for this week. There were more questions, but we are running short on time. So let's go to our signature segment, Malachi's Missions. Josh, what do you got for this week? What should Malachi be doing on top of dropping 25 points in the gobble?
And putting on some muscle. So this week, I went on a long walk with my good friend John. We walked from, I live in the Annex, so we walked across the Humber Bay Bridge, then down along the park, the down Broadview along the park, to Chinatown East. Wow. And I just want to recommend to everybody, just go for a walk with a friend. Toronto's set to come out of lockdown soon, so you can start to schedule a time to go hang out with a friend. And it really did improve my mood. Like a nice, like I'm saying, like you got to book off like 3 to 4 hours.
Mm. Of and you got to bundle up.
Yeah, up two socks, just walking for catching up. Maybe if you're like me, you can like sneak a beverage and try not to get busted for an open container. I encourage everybody.
If you get busted for open container during a pandemic, it's another reason to defund. All right, because
seriously,
let people live, man. Please,
I really do recommend. Like, if you're in the bubble, just go. Like, you know, meet up with somebody you haven't seen in a while, and just hit the streets.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good recommendation. My recommendation, or not recommendation, my mission is to honestly visit Geary Avenue. Not a real secret in Toronto, I guess. Maybe it's a secret to other people. But I
secret guess, to Malachi. He's still not.
It's definitely a secret to Malachi, bro. He's never been anywhere close. The closest he's been to Toronto is probably, you know, I don't even know. What's the time the Raptors traveled?
Europe.
Last time he was in Europe. But no, there's a lot of great things on Geary Avenue, which I believe I've recommended many things. But today I'm going to recommend Gaucho Pie Company. You can find them on Instagram. But empanadas is probably like the one lasting memory I have of going to Argentina. And it's like they make incredible empanadas. Their menu changes daily. They incorporate a lot of different I don't like the word fusion flavors because that, you know, implies that like you go to a restaurant and you're like, here's the sushi next to this bowl of congee. And I'm like, that's disgusting. No one will eat like this, right? No, it's not like that, but they'll have different flavors like, you know, kompaji, or they'll have like traditional flavors, all sorts of stuff. But it's really good. And it's off Geary Avenue, off of Westmoreland. And if you go there, you can also get Knockout ice cream, which is some of the best ice cream in the city. And honestly, a decent chance you'll catch me around there because I frequent these places. So
you live very close.
I live somewhere in this approximate area. So
the other thing I was thought about recommending.
Yep.
The other thing I thought about recommending, and I've had this aversion to it my whole life. As soon as it's been an option, the idea of like ordering dessert to your house always felt like a bridge too far. I can understand ordering like a meal that is essential, but like asking
how you gonna pay a person to come to your house to bring you a freaking 2-for-1 cheesecake?
So I did the other day, and it was nice. It was like Kate, listener of the show, tweeted that she was ordering cookies, and I said, all right,
cookies is fine.
But the idea, like, I remember thinking to myself, like, who am I, the king, ordering somebody to come to my house with a sundae for me to eat it?
Josh, this is what this is what late stage capitalism is all about. All right, enjoy.
It was very decadent, and I only did it because I took today off from my day job and have tried to sort of relax into the long weekend. But if you're looking for a really sweet treat, I mean that both pun intended. Order dessert. That's my secondary mission for Malachi. Have you ever ordered dessert on an app?
Yeah, like donuts or something.
Amazing stuff.
And when I do, I use DoorDash.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
When are you going to run that?
I don't know. Sometime during the middle of the podcast. But use promo code ROE to get a bit of a discount. Shout out to the time you just came into the office, the Yahoo office, back, you know, pre-pandemic. With a box of Craig's cookies. That was a true blessing.
Yeah. I cannot wait for a studio again. So much fun.
It would be great. It would be great. So,
everybody wear a mask.
Wash your hands.
Keep distance.
Even if they open things up, just do what you need to do, but do it safely. And please try to respect the health of others. Remember that it's not just your health that you're concerned about. It's the public health that you're concerned about. All right. We can't all be past the pandemic until we're all past the pandemic. So let's try to be considerate of other people.
And if there's a John Collins trade before we come back, I take back everything I said about him, maybe not being it.
I'll delete it, don't worry. I'll go back and strike him on the record. No, that's a fair concern, but you know, would he be a huge talent upgrade? Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. You know, so. All right, Josh, thanks for coming on the podcast. As always, listeners, thanks for sending in questions. Really appreciate it. And me and Josh will be back sometime next week to take more. So thanks for listening.
Peace.